All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
David, I just want to say good morning.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How dare you wake me up at the crack of 2?
Ladies and gentlemen, David got up this morning at the crack of 2 p.m. to show once again his undying commitment to podcasting excellence.
I'm not just going to sleep through something like this.
No, you're a professional. That's all.
Look, to be fair, I didn't get up at 2, all right? It was like 11:45. Yeah, but I went to bed at 6:45, so come on.
David was out partying last night, and everybody was egging him on to keep going, and he was like, no, man, I got to get to sleep. I got the podcast tomorrow morning at 2 p.m.
Yeah, you should have heard the chants. More.
I thought I could hear it from here.
Yeah, it was loud.
But you know, David, it's like you always tell me, not all heroes wear capes.
That's true. No, and I'll never deny it. But you know someone who will deny things left, right, and center?
Talk to me.
Sebastian Stan.
All right. Now, before you get into this story, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Do we know Sebastian? Should I know Sebastian Stan?
You should. And when I tell you who he is, you're going to go,
gotcha. Okay. All right.
Well, he's the Winter Soldier.
Wow.
See?
Yeah. I gotcha. Yeah. I do know that guy.
Yeah.
He would be, you know what he would be great as?
Who? What?
Like a great Luke Skywalker.
Like a young
Luke Skywalker.
Perfect.
Wouldn't he be the best?
But here's the thing.
Talk to me.
He totally denies it. He says he's not gonna play young Luke Skywalker in any upcoming Star Wars or Star War. As I wrote on purpose. And I wrote a Star Wars in honor of the late Jessica Walter, who passed this week.
And she is?
She did a lot of voice acting. You'd recognize her. She was the mom on Arrested Development.
Mm.
And in Arrested Development, she gives the kid some money. She goes, go see a Star Wars.
Well, you wrote this typo where you wrote in the upcoming Star Wars. And obviously you meant Star Wars, and that's whatever, who cares. But it got me thinking about something, and that's why I put the S in the parentheses.
Okay.
Because what would Star Wars be like as a franchise? Like, if instead of, it's much more defined. I mean, Star Wars is like a one-time deal.
Right.
Whereas Star Wars references this ongoing generational struggle between good and evil, and Star War is just like this one time that these two galaxies were pissed at each other and got into a fight.
And what would it be?
I think we should explore it.
This is the new movie. Visit our Kickstarter.
What were we talking about last week where we were going to be the voices?
I can't even remember. Oh my gosh. Oh, Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Yes. You know, for the longest time, I used to put that in my, I used to tell people that I used to be a Chippendale dancer. Just to see what kind of laugh I could get.
Okay, I have a funny story for that. All right. I went to a conservative Christian high school. And when you graduated, we definitely had the most likely twos in the book or whatever. But they also did a thing, because that was voted on by the students. But then we had a senior banquet, which was like what our version of the prom, with no dancing, because leave some room for Jesus.
Right, please.
And the teachers would do a most likely to thing. But they would make them up. Like, they would just come up with most likely to whatever. I got voted at my conservative Christian school in front of all the students. I came up to win, take the award from the principal, most likely to be a Chippendale dancer. And I'm like, wait, do they know?
Right. First of all, they don't know. But second of all, I know why you got that award.
Why is that?
It was the business suit and the briefcase. I mean, that's sexy as hell right there.
It was. It was also, I had a dance that I did, a really goofy dance called the Dance of Seduction. And I would do this goofy dance and go, consider yourself seduced. And it was really, like, people loved me to do that. So that's, I mean, that's really why I got it. But it just,
you know what that was the precursor to? That was the precursor to the, hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Yeah. All right. Back to the news. Look.
All right, please.
Here's some, you know, Sebastian Stan as young Luke Skywalker sounds cool, but at the same time, he's getting up there in age. You would think they would go younger if they were going to go young, right?
I would love to see them do kind of. I know that Daisy Ridley wasn't exactly a rookie, but she was basically unknown before she took over her role. I would like to see an unknown person come in as young Luke Skywalker.
I was literally waiting for you to say you'd like to see her play young Skywalker.
Great. Great. I think that'd be awesome.
Just put a wig on her. Okay, well, in some positive news, because these are things I thought were way down in, like, on the list of things that were going to happen anytime soon, both Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which is the name of the movie, and Captain Marvel 2, both begin filming May 31st in, I believe, somewhere in the States and then in Australia or something. So
That is, I was super excited to see that. That's awesome.
So Marvel's starting to, like, churn its engines again.
Ramp back up, yeah.
Yeah, so that's some positive news. I'm excited for that. And what here's the thing that kind of is curious, though. We've got Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings or whatever it's called. Right. When are we getting a trailer for that? Because that's done filming. And what else? I think, did Black Panther 2, did that start? I can't remember. There's other ones in the works that I'm surprised we haven't heard more about, but... Anyway.
Yeah, Black Widow coming out in July.
Yeah.
I think we discussed that. I wonder what trailers will be on that. And I also wonder, like, that movie, I don't know. I guess I'm asking the same question about Black Widow that we asked about No Time to Die. Like, at what point are we sick of, at what point has this movie moved so much that it's hard to take it seriously. It's hard to be excited for it.
Here's the thing about Black Widow that really is keeping my main interest in the movie. Well, what? I mean, I've always been going to watch it.
Sure.
With it, but,
sure.
But there must be something that happens in Black Widow that sets the tone for the upcoming movies, which is why we haven't seen clips or anything of any of the movies coming up. There must be something.
Yeah.
It might be small, but whatever, but there must be there.
Yeah. Speaking of John Wick, the director of John Wick is set to direct Ghosts of
Tsushima.
What's the deal with this?
Ghosts of Tsushima was a very, very popular video game that came out last year about a samurai who defends his land against a Mongol attack. I think we are ready for a grand grand samurai, epic. I think we are overdue, and I am totally 100% down for it. John, the director at John Wick knows how to do action well and fun in a way that, you know, where you're like, oh, but at the same time, not like, that's kind of cheesy. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, I think that sounds great. I think a samurai movie would be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what else would be, let's just call it bewitching.
What?
It would be if Sony would go ahead and reboot Bewitched already.
Isn't that the show where she, like, wiggles her nose and, like, makes things happen?
She wiggles her nose. She's a witch. She wiggles her nose and things up. But she's married to an ordinary man.
What does that mean, rebooking Bewitched?
I wrote rebooking, but it should have been rebooting.
Oh, rebooting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Have we ever had a Bewitched movie yet?
Yeah, there was the Will Ferrell version, but it was real meta. It was Bewitched, but he was also starring in a TV show that was based around the idea of Bewitched or something. So it wasn't really like the original. From what I'm seeing, Sony plans to make this movie more to the original series.
You know who would be great in this? Who's Reese that? Witherspoon. Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Or Nicole Kidman.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if Reese Witherspoon did it, would she wiggle her nose or her chin?
Stop it. Stop it. David. Hang your head in shame.
Oh, man.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I think there's a ton of great actresses that I would love to see do Bewitched. And what about an African American lead?
Oh yeah,
that'd be pretty dope.
Oh totally. I was thinking Emma Stone, but yeah, like you get some really cool. I mean, there's so many women out there that would be awesome in this role.
Yeah, yeah. So. Okay. Speaking of white guys, Pierce Brosnan has signed on to Warner Brothers' Black Adam as Dr. Fate. This movie is listed. I don't know if you saw this on the website.
Yeah.
If you look up Black Adam on IMDb, it says a movie that is definitely still happening. That's like the subtitle. It's what? Called Black Adam, : a movie that is definitely still happening. That's what it says there on the website.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Check it out if you don't believe me.
So I wrote that yesterday when I was putting the notes together, and then I pop on today right before the show, and I see you put a note. They released an actual release date for it, July 2022. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, July 29th. 2022, which I think is actually a great time to release a movie like this. You know, it's sort of, I don't know if it's big enough to carry like the 4th of July, but you put that trailer on whatever opens on July of 22, which I guess we know is Minions. Although I don't see Black Adam as being an appropriate trailer for Minions, but whatever. But you get my point. You know, you build up the buzz all summer, and then by the end of July, when people are bored with all the big titles that came out, there they go to Black Adam, bada bing, bada boom.
Are you familiar with Dr. Fate?
No.
He's basically DC's version of Doctor Strange.
Oh, nice.
With a twist. So Dr. Fate is the Lord of Fate, or works with the Lords of Fate, so I'm probably getting that wrong. But it's a helmet. Right, that has this like has the spirit of Dr. Fate in it, and then whoever puts the helmet on becomes Dr. Fate, like they transform into him. But the catch is they're like no longer in control. It's Dr. Fate, and so he has to choose to take the helmet off for the person to become the person again, which generally he doesn't. It's wow. It's like it's kind of like an imprisonment thing. Like you trade, like you put it on and you're not you and someone else is using your body. But I think that Pierce Brosnan is perfect for the role, if not just the voice alone. I think he'd be awesome.
So Warner Brothers has Dr. Fate and Marvel has Dr. Strange.
Right.
And there are any number of other parallels between the two universes, right? So I want to go really far out on a limb.
Okay.
Has anybody ever like broken it down and compared Warner Brothers and Marvel and compared like Eastern religion and Western religion? Like Eastern religion would be Marvel, obviously, and Western religion with all its flaws and how incredibly screwed up it has become would be Warner Brothers.
Okay.
Have you ever seen that analogy?
Well, not until our new book that if you hit our Kickstarter up, you can fund all about the DC versus Marvel faith mythology.
Like if anybody has ever read Joseph Campbell, he did The Power of Myth and The Hero's Journey and any number of like really scholarly studies comparing the incredible similarities. You wouldn't even say coincidences because they're sort of archetypal, similarities between Eastern and Western religions.
Right.
And it strikes me how many similarities there are between Warner Brothers and Marvel. And I know that I'm not trying to say that either either one of them is a religion. I'm just saying it's funny that they would both have a Dr. Fate and a Dr. Strange and come at it a little bit differently.
Well, didn't he also, he wrote that after he created tomato soup or?
Right. That's what he did. Once he did the soup, he was able to retire a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and he decided to get scholarly.
Well, you know why that is though. It's back when these characters were being created, a lot of the writers were freelance and they'd go from one company to the other. And so they were like, well, we like what you did over here. Let's do the same thing with us.
Yeah.
So
that was, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. Interesting.
So speaking of things that make perfect sense, Helen Mirren has been cast as a villain in the new Shazam Fury of the Gods movie. That's Shazam 2 for those of us in layman terms. Mirren will play Hespera, a daughter of Atlas. I love Helen Mirren. Whatever. I don't know anything about the daughter of Atlas. Whatever. But cool.
Didn't we love Shazam?
Yeah, Shazam's fun.
Yeah, I feel like Shazam is one of those, like, it's a forgotten movie. I don't think I've thought about it since we watched it.
That scene when he runs and jumps off the building and yells Shazam midair and transforms, that's still, like, one of my favorite superhero moments.
Wow.
Like, the movie itself isn't one of my favorite superhero movies, but that moment is just so iconic to me.
Yeah. So there was a lot of news, and I will skim this a little bit, but essentially Regal, AMC, and Cinemark have all cut deals now with Warner Brothers, Universal, Focus Features. And I think what's essentially happening is, I think I've said on this show before that the normal exhibitor position is traditionally we've always had a 90-day window, 3 months from when you release a movie to when you can see it at home. Obviously, the world has changed dramatically. But even before the pandemic, I think I've said on this show, I bet you we could go back and find me saying on this show that I don't need 90 days. You know, I would do 60 days and what it turns out is that a lot of people at these larger multinational chains apparently feel the same way because they're all agreeing to things like a 45-day window, a 31-day window, et cetera. There's one that says 17 days unless it makes $50 million, in which case it becomes 31 days. And I think I've said on this show before, like, what's funny about that is if the movie opens to $50 million or $100 million or whatever – there's no damn way the studio is going to release it online. You know, I mean, they're going to keep making the money at the box office. I mean, they're not stupid. Their sole purpose, they're publicly traded companies, and their sole purpose is to make money. And so if they can make more money theatrically, now, again, I have no problem. If it opens and grosses $6 million, I'm going to be trying to get rid of it after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, I got rid of a movie this morning when I was booking films with the studios, and I dropped a movie after 2 weeks because it sucked and nobody came to saw it. And so yeah, if the movie had opened and made $50 million, I wouldn't be trying to get rid of it. So I think a lot of this is interesting and significant and it's real, but I don't think it's earth-shattering. I don't think it changes sort of the future of movie going.
So here's what got me with this news, and I wanted to ask you about it because the wording I read was very specific in describing these things. They said, okay, so AMC and Cinemark have a deal for 17 days of theatrical exclusivity for Universal and Focus Features, raising to 31 if the movie makes more than $50 million. Okay, but the wording for this other thing made me question it. Regal has made a deal with Warner Brothers distributing that their movies will distribute exclusively at Regal for 45 days. To me, says the movie will only come out at Regal Cinemas for 45 days.
Yeah, I mean, that's misleading. That's not accurate.
Okay.
I bopped in there on the notes and other theaters. I mean, that's their deal. I mean, that's, you know, they're certainly entitled to strike deals, but there's...
That seemed insane. And I was like, there's no way...
No,
they're not going to put the movies in other theaters.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of history of legal suits that will, you know, protect not just little guys like me, but you know, middle of the road exhibitors who maybe somebody who has 20 theaters, you know. Right. So no, that must have been a misleading. Somebody chose their words poorly when reporting that. But no, I mean, that if that had been, then that would essentially be the end of, you know, be the end of Penn Cinema, be the end of AMC, be the end of Cinemark, because what that means is that all these other people aren't getting Warner Brothers movies. There's no way. And the other thing is, Warner Brothers would never agree to that, because as big as Regal is, they need all the rest of us. Like when you look at grosses, the top 50 theaters in any given DMA, a lot of them are Regals, but a lot of them are AMC, a lot of them are independent. Like, and you know, you take that group out. If you're going to be exclusive with Regal, you've just cut out 75% or 60% of your entire market. So, yeah. So no, that must have been either a reported wrong or just communicated poorly.
Okay, good. There we go. Penn, why don't you read this next one here? Because I think you wrote it, and it's I want your best Norse, you know what I'm saying?
Dude. Yeah, Norseman. Yeah, and Eric, if you're listening, I know I am a future Norseman, so I will give this my best shot. Yeah. Great Odin's beard. Great Odin's beard.
Great Odin's beard.
Russell Crowe is joining the cast of Marvel's Thor: Love and Thunder. Is that pretty good?
I love
Close?
It.
Close? All right.
I love it.
So was this news to you?
Yeah.
It seemed like it's pretty hot off the presses. Russell Crowe is joining Thor: Love and Thunder, joining Chris Hemsworth and Natalie Portman and Christian Bale. His role, meaning Russell Crowe's role, is yet as undisclosed.
Oh.
What's interesting about this, and it's kind of a bummer, but what's interesting about this is Marvel really made an effort to keep this under wraps. But Russell Crowe was hanging out with the cast so much in Australia, and there were so many pictures posted from, like, not even paparazzi, but like fans in Australia of Russell Crowe with Chris Hemsworth and Natalie Portman and Christian Bale hanging out. So I think the cat's out of the bag a little sooner than what they had anticipated.
Huh.
So they won't say what he's playing, but yeah.
I love it. Russell Crowe, he's great. You know?
He can't do anything except add goodness to the movie. I'm not saying he's like my favorite or whatever, but he has never like phoned in a role.
No, I'll give you that. He's not phoned in a role. He gives it us all. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Do you remember a couple weeks ago I watched his trailer, Wrath of Man?
Right. Yeah. You were the only one who watched it though, right?
Right. Yeah. Because it had been sent to me with like a special decoder ring. Anyway, I want to reiterate my support for this movie. The movie is called Wrath of Man, and it opens on May 7th, a date previously occupied by Black Widow, and the trailer is now online. So check out the trailer for Wrath of Man. I guess we should have done this. This would have been a great segue into our trailers segment, but I didn't put that together until the words were leaving my mouth. Happens to me frequently.
Well, segue right away from trailers. The Obi-Wan series is coming to Disney Plus, and they just announced their cast. I don't know if you saw that or not.
No.
But I believe there's someone playing Han Solo in it, maybe, or something like that, I heard. I didn't get a chance to really look at it that deeply, but I did say they released the cast for the Disney Plus Obi-Wan Kenobi series.
Yeah, and normally we only like to talk about movies on this show because it is the Penn Cinema podcast and we're not too interested in TV. But I think we all agreed that Mandalorian was great. Mm-hmm. And we all agreed that some of these high-end series are actually really doing a good job tying in, not even tying in, but like maintaining that fan base enthusiasm for the theatrical releases to come. Yeah. So I was excited. Honestly, I you know, maybe we talked about this, but I wasn't. Did you know that there was Obi-Wan Kenobi's?
I did.
You did. Maybe I knew it and I forgot it, but I was excited to see this headline, and I look forward to seeing that. When I was little, obviously, when Star Wars first came out and I was 6 years old, Han Solo was my favorite.
Yeah.
But Obi-Wan was right behind him. Like, the, he was a pretty badass dude sitting in the back of that land speeder or land cruiser or whatever and going like, these are not the droids you're looking for. I used to try to use that on my parents. I'd be sitting there like with, you know, peanut butter all over my chin and my mouth and hanging off my nose. And they'd be going, what are you doing eating peanut butter? I'd be going, I was not eating the peanut butter. Try to wave my hand like that. It never, never, ever worked.
Wow. Yeah. That was last week?
That was last week with Amy. Like, my favorite thing to do is when I got my face in, like, a big bowl of junk food, and Amy's like, what are you eating? And I always look up and go, like, a salad? Obviously.
Clearly. get out of my face.
What else do I eat? Just salad and Brussels sprouts, pretty much. Sometimes broccoli if I want to live on the wild side.
Whoa! Speaking of living on the wild side, let's get into this week's trailers.
I think we're going to need to have a new segment on this show.
You mean called horror, the horror section?
We're going to have new trailers. And then we're going to have the horror trailers. This week in horror.
That's all there was this week, except for one.
Yeah, and the one was the new Suicide Squad trailer, which when I watched it, you know how you frequently make fun of me on the show for falling for fan art?
What?
That doesn't sound like me. What is it called? It's not called fan art. It's something else.
Yeah, like a fan trailer. Yeah.
Fan trailer. Yeah. When I watched this trailer, which I loved, by the way, I thought maybe I was watching fan, like a fan. No, right? Do you get why I would say that?
All the big stars in it didn't fit together for you? Is that what it was?
It just looked, I was not prepared. I was not prepared for how dramatically different this was going to look from, this was a whole different thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
And I think dramatically better. I'm on board.
It's got a lot more humor in it, a lot more, like the humor works. And it's clearly going to be gory. You got King Shark eating people and ripping people in half.
Right. But what's it? Some of the cast is held over. I mean, Margot Robbie, wasn't she? Yeah. Was she in the first Suicide Squad? She was, right? Yeah. And I thought the trailer looked amazing. And my favorite part was when they bump into her in the alley and she's like all covered in blood. And he was like, "We got a rescue plan," and it was a really good plan. And she's like, "Well, do you want me to go back inside and you can rescue me?"
She is so good as Harley Quinn.
Oh my God.
The movies might not always be the best, but she is so great as that character.
She's amazing. Yeah. And I officially cannot wait for this movie.
I'm pumped.
I kind of saw it on the calendar and I was like, oh, that's cool. They're doing Suicide Squad. And I guess I had heard, we had talked on the show's reboot or, you know, James Gunn's doing it, whatever. Yeah. And this looks like Guardians of the Galaxy goes Suicide Squad.
And there's a big reveal at the end of either A, the villain of the movie, or one of the big villains of the movie, with Starro making a huge appearance. A giant starfish with the eye in the center of it that controls people's minds. So how can you not love that?
I feel like the original comics were like written by like grandpas and good old guys with like fighting good and evil, and like Suicide Squad was written by somebody stoned out of their gore.
Yeah.
Like, constantly.
Clearly.
Right. Right. Yeah. All right. So then after Suicide Squad, we have four horror movies, one of which was billed the first great horror movie of 2021, which it included a lot of mushrooms and hallucinogenic themes, and it reminded me of two things.
Okay.
First of all, the movie is called In the Earth, and it's actually being released by Neon, which makes me think it might be pretty good.
Okay.
And what's the name of the movie we watched? There was a horror movie a year or two ago, and it took place at a summer camp. It was like called Summer something, like Wind Summer or Midsummer. It was Midsummer. That's what it was. And it was it was scary and creepy as hell.
Yeah.
This movie reminds me a lot of that. So that's the first thing it reminded me of. The second thing it reminded me of was that time on the show when you tried to convince me that there were mushrooms that could grow like arms and legs and do like simple arithmetic and like steal your face and stuff.
They're called cordyceps, and I didn't make them up. They're real. They don't do any of the shit you just said. They take over the minds of insects and stuff, and then they make them go places.
So no, that's Dr. Fate.
Oh my God.
That's Dr. Fate, David. Fool me once,
exact,
shame on you.
Exact same thing.
Fool me twice.
Twice.
Shame on me.
How many times is twice?
Thrice.
Thrice.
Thrice. I need a third time. This morning, I told Drew, this is a true story. I told Drew this morning, I said, hey, we got a real problem. He goes, what's the problem? And I said, I am losing my ability to do simple arithmetic. So I was booking movies for Wilmington, right?
Yeah.
Now, here's the word problem that we were trying to solve. Okay. Penn Cinema's movie theater in Wilmington, Delaware has 15 screens. One of those screens is an IMAX screen. Three of those screens are offline due to maintenance. King Kong plays on three screens plus an IMAX. Raya plays on two screens, no IMAX. Tom and Jerry needs to play on one screen. How many screens does that leave for holdover film titles? I told Drew, it took me like three tries. Like, I had to like, I had to like write it out like an eighth grader doing, not an eighth grader, like a sixth grader doing like word problem arithmetic. I told Drew, I said I did it twice. I came up with two different show times. Oh my God.
And at what point was he like, Penn, it's my birthday. Why are you talking to me right now?
Yeah. So you know what I did? So, all right. First of all, thank you for reminding me. Happy birthday,
Happy
Drew.
Happy birthday, Drew.
Happy birthday, Drew. One of my favorite people in the world. So because he's one of my favorite people, what I did was I went to Stauffer's. I didn't do it like ahead of time, like a normal person would do. I waited till he came into work, saw that there was nothing on his desk, you know, and then he got to work. And then I went to Stauffer's, and of all the people who were upset about Disney's decision to get rid of Luca, Drew was the most upset. And so what I did was I went to Stauffer's and I bought a couple dozen, or I only got a dozen donuts, but I put it in two different boxes because I couldn't squeeze. You know when you put donuts in the box yourself, you can't squeeze them in there
right.
like that.
That's
so
crazy.
I used two boxes and got a dozen donuts. And then I took them back to the lobby and I took one of Disney's movie posters. When Drew took down the poster for Luca, he was so mad at Disney, he literally tore it up and crumpled it up and threw it in the trash. So our posters for Luca are nowhere to be found unless you want to go dumpster diving. But we did have an old poster for Artemis Fowl, which you will recall was the first Disney movie to get moved.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I took the poster for – I put the two boxes of donuts on the counter and wrapped them in Artemis in the Artemis Fowl movie poster. And then I carried them upstairs and gave them to him for a happy birthday gift because I felt like he needed something. I felt like when I presented my birthday present to him, I wanted the first thing he saw to be the big Disney logo right on top of that. Because that's the kind of friend I am.
Bravo.
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 All right, so we got this horror movie called In the Earth. It looks pretty good. I think it's overdramatic to say it's the first great horror movie, although...
They all say that.
Whatever. Okay, maybe it is. I don't know.
And we all know the first great horror movie of Zosie is is that jeans one where the jeans come to life and kill people.
So, what was the name of that?
It was called Jeans or what was it called?
Whatever. Oh, my God.
But that was so awesome. Yeah. Slacks.
Slacks was the first great horror movie of Zosie.
Yeah.
So the other horror movie, another horror movie that was on there was Separation, mm-hmm. which actually looked – I mean, I guess if we're being fair, three of these four movies looked pretty good. Separation looks pretty intense. It's about a mother who passes away or gets hit by a car and dies or something. And then I guess there's some question about whether or not she's coming back and haunting the house.
Yeah, which is weird. But, yeah, the house is haunted in some way. Whether or not it's by the husband, I'm wondering if maybe the husband killed her and or something. And then, like, that's the secret they find out.
I think it's one of those things where the spirit comes back and is scary as hell to the audience, but for some reason the child in the movie is not the least bit turned off.
Oh.
Right? I mean, I kind of got that vibe. You saw the kid, like, pretty comfortable chit-chatting with this incredibly creepy thing that, frankly, reminded me a little bit too much of, what's the Michael Keaton movie? Beetlejuice. Reminded me a little too much of Beetlejuice because I feel like I might have a little bit hard time taking this movie seriously.
Maybe
but
it
anyway,
was Beetlejuice.
Maybe it was. The name of the movie is Separation.
Yeah.
It for me, it gets whatever.
Stars Brian Cox, and In the Earth stars Mossy Williams.
Mossy Williams, yes.
Okay. Hunted, which has been described as a modern horror take on Little Red Riding Hood, according to the website I looked. Yeah, I can't really remember much about it other than that there's a lady in red running through the woods attacking people, and there's some crazy stills of her, like, with her face painted blue running through the woods.
Yeah, I mean, what happens is I did not know about the Little Red Riding Hood piece, but now that you say that, it kind of explains the whole thing.
Yeah.
Essentially, what the trailer does is it has this woman being kidnapped by these two men, and then there's a car accident. Mm-hmm. She gets kidnapped and put in the trunk of the car. There's a car accident which essentially frees her from the trunk and allows her to get a head start. She runs into this scary forest, but the forest comes back to protect her. It's like a scary forest, but the forest is on her side, and the two men give chase, and they're referred to in the trailer as the wolves. Mm-hmm. So essentially, you have the forest and everything, but the men are the wolf or the wolves. And again, this is in my book. I thought it looked pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it looked pretty good too.
Yeah.
I watched it probably a little too late at night. I was like, these images.
What was that movie that was very controversial? This looks like a good version of that, where the rich people, like, essentially kidnap the poor people and hunt them down. It might be called The Hunt.
The Hunt, yeah.
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 This, to me, looked like a better version of that. Mm-hmm. And it's probably not even a fair comparison now that I know the whole fairy tale piece.
Right. And now for Penn's movie of the week.
Yeah, my movie of the week. No, nay, movie of the year.
Yeah. Is called The Resort.
Right. From, you know, nothing says quality like having the vertical logo on the trailer.
Right. And a bunch of 20-somethings get dropped off on an abandoned island with an abandoned resort where they closed down the whole island because too many people were going missing.
I hate it when that happens.
By the lady with the half face.
Right.
And they're like, don't worry, we just got to make it out on time. Guess what?
Uh-oh.
They don't make it out on time, and they got to stay there for an undisclosed amount of time while something drags people into the darkness. It's a ghost.
David. Yeah. Do me a favor. Can you do something for me?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Wake me up when you're done talking about this movie.
The alarm goes off. Yeah.
This movie looks cheap. I doubt that you'll see it at a Penn Cinema near you.
Can't wait for you to eat those words. Four screens.
Yeah, well, it would be the first time. It would be the first time I have ever gone back on a bold statement made on this show or, frankly, any show.
Any capacity.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there was some discussion. Penn Cinema, here's some news.
Okay.
Here's some actual news.
Whoa.
This will be the first place that I say this publicly. It's very, very early, so don't ask for any concrete news.
Right, but man, it's like 3:30 in the afternoon. When did you get up?
But we will be connecting the main building of Penn Cinema in Lititz with the IMAX building of Penn Cinema.
No way!
Yeah, so it's really exciting. We have a lot of ideas, none of which we're ready to talk about. But one of them included food. And somebody said, oh, we could put a dine-in model. And I was like, no. No, we're not doing a dine-in model. There's absolutely 0% chance of me doing a dine-in model in Lititz. So now that I've said that on the podcast, go ahead and book your reservation at the new Penn Cinema Dine-In Movie Theater.
Because if Penn says it's not happening, there's a good chance 3 to 4 years down the road, it'll be something that he's always like, I always wanted this.
No. I've never done that.
Okay, well, I'm so excited about this.
Right, all right. I'm so excited about it. I have changed my opinion. I've evolved and I've reversed course many times, but I've never tried to pretend that I was always on board about something. I'll own it. I really don't think that we will do the dine-in model. What I could see is an additional auditorium that is specially designed for private events that could include like a special, almost like a buffet in the back. Have you ever been to a concert or a sporting event or even like Clipper Magazine Stadium and you go in one of those boxes, they call them boxes.
Yeah.
And the seats for the event are kind of in the front of the box. And then in the back, there's like almost like a buffet or a bar area.
Uh-huh.
I think designing something like that would be super cool.
Yeah.
You know, where you lay the food out, people, it's designed entirely for private parties, you know, private affairs. It can be used for a private party that's just an event, or it could be, you know, you could rent it out to see the opening of King Kong.
Right.
You know, whatever, all of the above. So that's where my head is at. And I honestly have no idea if that's the way it'll end up or not. But yeah, let me know, podcast@penncinema.com. Let us know what you think we should be doing with that space between the two buildings.
I think there should be a very opulent and unwarranted skywalk.
Yes.
And so from the lobby, you have to go up a flight of stairs right. to walk over and go down a flight of stairs for no reason. I mean, there's nothing to just, you know.
Did I ever tell you about my dream of putting a bar in the ceiling of the main lobby of the main building?
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know how the men's room and the ladies' room is like normal height, but then above it, the ceiling is 30 feet tall.
Yeah.
I always thought it'd be cool to build a bar on top of the men's room and ladies' room. I thought that'd be so cool, like a balcony overlooking, and it could cantilever out over into the lobby, and the floor would be glass and stuff and be all super cool looking.
I always thought you were going to have a DJ sitting up there. Just like trapped up there. Like you can't get down till it sets over.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. we have the same opportunity in IMAX. If you look in the lobby when you walk in and then look behind you, you have, you know, some space up there.
See, when we do our live show from the lobby, that's where you put us up high. So we don't take up any of the space.
Right. And then it'll be super fun interviewing people because we'll be shouting out, what?
Huh?
Always thinking, David. You're always thinking.
Well, let's get into our movie review this week. This week Please. We watched Nobody. And not that we watched Nobody. We actually watched a movie called Nobody.
Right. It was awesome. I loved it. Did you love it?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was a lot of fun. I really like Bob Odenkirk.
No.
How do you say his name?
Odenkirk. Like Great Odenkirk.
Yeah. Like Thorin Odenkirk from Lord of the Rings.
You know why I learned his name? Because I call into Fun 101, the radio station, 101.3, every Monday morning.
Right.
And like it's all fun and games on the podcast. But when I call into the radio, like you got to be tight. You got to just say your business and move on. And so I didn't feel like it was the place to make jokes about how I didn't know how to say the guy's name. So I like looked it up and checked it out. It turns out a pretty easy name to remember. Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul stars in a revenge thriller that we heard ahead of time. And I think it rings true is really it feels a lot like John Wick.
Right.
Yeah. In a good way.
Yeah. I mean, it's not on the same par as John Wick, but it feels like John Wick.
Interesting. Okay. So obviously you think John Wick is better.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a fair conversation or is John Wick so much better that it's not even a fun conversation?
I mean, they're pretty similar. I just think John Wick is better. And I think the difference is the Nobody still had connections. So I never really felt like he was going to do anything to get himself fully killed. Like, I always felt like he'd wind up with his family at the end. You know, like, they weren't going to give us a super depressing ending. Whereas in John Wick, he had nothing left. So at the end of the first one, where he's laying there dying, I thought, well, you know, that's poetic that he would, you know, die at the end of this thing. And then it was cool in the beginning of the second one when, you know, surprise, he didn't. So, right. But I never felt like nobody was going to. And I'm calling him Nobody because that's his call name. So
Yeah. I mean, that's a big important plot detail. He's known by his government file, code name Nobody.
Yeah.
And when one of the Russian bad guys, who's a woman, reads the file, she delivers it to her boss and says, "No charge, I'm out of here."
Right. Yeah.
Like, she wants nothing to do with this guy. And that was a pretty exciting moment. I thought that was pretty cool. I watched this movie with our friend Scott Gibble, and Scott said he loved it. And he pointed out how much funnier it was. Like, we both laughed out loud quite a bit throughout. I don't ever remember. I grinned and chuckled. There were some funny moments in John Wick, some entertaining ironies, some quips. But Nobody, I think, Scott and I thought, was, like, legit funny.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, I think this is much funnier, lighter. Funny to say that, but a little bit lighter film than John Wick. Were you surprised to see, I can't think of his name, Christopher Lloyd in the movie?
Oh, my God. Christopher Lloyd stole the whole show.
Yeah.
I mean, I was surprised to see him. He was amazing. And everything about that plot was absolutely perfect, because I said to Scott, I feel like what they could have done, which would have been so cliche, is to have Christopher Lloyd, who plays Nobody's father, so he's like a grandfather age type guy. He's in a nursing home, et cetera, but he still boils. He's still a total badass. And the cliche move would have been to have him, like, you know, put up one big brave fight and save the day while he gets shot to death.
Yeah.
You know, he you know, takes on all the incoming bullets so that his two sons can escape into the sunset, a la Obi-Wan Kenobi at the end of, you know, the first Star Wars. So I was kind of dreading that, and I was kind of like, oh, God, you know. But they didn't. He lives. He you know, has a great ending, and everything about that storyline and Christopher Lloyd's performance therein was perfect.
I love how they don't body double him at all.
Right.
Like, he's clearly old. Like, I don't know how much of that was really acting. Like, he's moving slow, but right. He's still just, like, got this grin on his face and throwing the guns around. And I loved it. I loved it. Now, did you see the mid-credits scene?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
He played an old man in 1985 when he made Back to the Future.
Right. Watch. Makes me wonder, is this canonically a Back to the Future sequel? I mean, you know, because at the end of Back to the Future 3, he had two boys, you know, and he was, like, traveling around. Well, now, I mean, what happened? You know, the wife dies, he decides to settle back down and then just live out his life with his boys. But he's a little bit bored, so he just gets involved with the FBI, time to take people down, you know?
You just blew my mind.
I think that there's going to be sequels to this for sure, if it makes enough
money. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it certainly has made enough money. I mean, it was the number one movie nationally, and it has not made enough money by 2019 standards, but by 2021 standards, absolutely. And also, I talk about this on the show quite a bit, but what I loved most about this movie is how much people loved it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, everybody who came out was talking and enthusiastic, and God, that was great. They're telling their friends.
I could see RZA just getting his own spinoff too. Like, maybe not Bob Odenkirk, but even if RZA did, because there was all this mystery of him being in hiding, and he's like, "I'm not coming out of hiding to save you." And then he's like, "Well, here I am.
Here I am." Yeah. So that would be a perfect mirror image. Like, let RZA make his own movie. And had Bob Odenkirk be like a small part in that movie.
Right. Yeah.
And then the third one can be the two of them together.
Right.
I got it all figured out.
Dude, go to our Kickstarter to fund our idea.
What do we got so far? We got our book.
Yeah.
Our cinema mythology book.
Yeah. And
The Nobody trilogy.
We had another movie earlier. Yeah. Whatever it was. But it's on a Kickstarter. I don't have to remember because we have a web page where you can donate money to it. So
it was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
All right. So the movie is Nobody. It was rated R, but I thought it was kind of a little bit of a soft R.
Yeah, I think it was R because it was gore.
There was a couple of F-bombs and there was some gore, but I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
I strongly recommend this movie. I was a little overdramatic. I was walking around telling people this was the best movie I'd seen, and however...
That doesn't sound like you.
I know.
Well, that's crazy.
I know.
When I went to the theater, I said, has Penn seen it? And they said, yeah, he said it was pretty funny. And I was like, you mean he didn't tell you that it was the best movie 2020, 2021? He's like, maybe not.
Actually, that is what he said.
Yeah.
Everybody, all the employees at Penn Cinema have now had to sign a new waiver. The waiver says no matter what Penn declares about the movie, the company line is he liked it, period.
Oh, man. All right. Well, Nobody. I say go see it. If you like John Wick, it's 100% something you should see.
Yeah. And next week, we're going to watch Godzilla versus Kong.
Right.
Which pre-sales have already indicated this is clearly going to be the biggest movie of 21. The biggest movie so far.
Yeah, because the review's not so great. But we'll see.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I saw a review today said that it was not very good.
Because I'm hearing otherwise.
Hey, it was one review, so it could have been...
Yeah.
That's one opinion, and it's not mine. So we'll see what happens.
All right. All right.
Yeah. So, all right. So listeners, notes, questions, feedback, and romantic advice.
I went an hour ahead of now and listened back to what we recorded, and I just want to say your commentary on Our Man was fascinating.
Wow. So last week we reported on Our Man, and we said he takes a pill and he can see into the future by 1 hour. So Frodo writes in and she's like, and
our response was like, so what? Who cares?
Yeah.
We were both totally unimpressed with this
sounds
superpower.
So super dumb. Frodo writes in and she's like, hold up, boys. She's like, get your news in line and let me, you know, that Our Man, you got it all wrong. Like, she's like, I don't even think he sees into the future. He's got all these other powers. So I'm like,
not only is his superpower lame, but you're totally wrong. That's not his superpower.
Yeah. The article that you read had it totally wrong and you took his face value. So I did a little bit of a deep dive into Our Man. Turns out there's been 3 Our Men. Now, 2 of them both shared the same powers, which does not include seeing into the future. So I get where she's coming from. The powers of these 2 Our Men is they take a pill and they get superhuman strength, speed, stamina, durability, night vision, and ability to survive underwater for 1 full hour. And depending on which one of the characters, they have to wait a full day before they can take the pill again. Now, there is a 3rd Our Man who was an android, and his Our Man abilities were all about seeing an hour ahead and being able to talk to people in the past and the future and being able to see people's past and stuff. So he was all about time travel. So we were 1/3 correct.
That's about like my high school record, 33%.
As far as I'm concerned, that's an A.
Right. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw a flag on this because even though we got it wrong and now we have a better understanding, I still think it's lame because any superpower that involves having to take a pill is not a superpower. It's just you're on drugs. You could take some cocaine and you could be like Flash.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, drop some acid and you're like Doctor Strange. Like, those are not superpowers. That's drug taking.
I think you just figured out superheroes. You're like, wait a minute. It's all starting to make sense.
No. I'm saying like the drug element has always been sort of, you know, like unspoken. So what's going to happen to this guy when he shows up and needs his superpowers and doesn't have his little pillbox?
He's SOL.
He's screwed.
What happens when he's in the middle of the fight of his life at 59 minutes and 59 seconds, and then all of a sudden he's just regular old dude again?
I'm going to quote a line from a movie, but it might be a little misleading, but it is from a movie. And see if any listeners know this line. You done dropped your pistol when you busted the window. That's your ass, I guess. Yeah.
What movie is that from?
You done dropped your pistol when you busted in the window. That's your ass, I guess.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to tell you because I want to see if anybody can write in.
I don't know.
I will say it's from a movie that was shown in movie theaters back in the day, but it's not a typical like a movie.
Oh.
It could be like almost like a concert.
Oh.
Maybe like a documentary.
So, in other words, not a movie, but maybe a movie. Not quite a commercial, but more of an infomercial. Okay. All right. It might have been a music video. I'm not sure.
No. It was definitely. Okay. All right. I'll give you some clues.
Okay.
And you just have to be on the honor system as to how many of these clues you needed.
Okay.
It was like a concert. It was a film made of
Spinal Tap.
Of a stand-up comedian performing his act. And then that act was released as a movie.
You know how that, right?
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy was in the middle of making 48 Hours with Nick Nolte. Mm. And then he went on to describe his plans for when he was going to and how he was going to watch that movie. So, anyway, okay. So that was quite the digression, but
yeah. Yeah. Hey, we also heard from Austin Atreides this week. And as you know, I mean, everyone knows because everyone's keeping track. Austin Atreides has said, "I bet you I can read 9 books before Penn can read 1. And Penn was like, "It's on like Donkey Kong."
Here's the thing. I feel bad for this guy. Right? Guy writes in every week talking trash. Right? So here's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting, chilling, just J-chilling, giving this guy a head start.
This is a rabbit in the hare type scenario.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm resting up. I'm resting my eyes. I don't want to be tired or exhausted, or I don't want to have fatigue.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm resting up. And, you know, one day, David, you're going to come to the show. You're going to sit down ready to record. And there's going to be a little news item written with encryption. So that you can't read it until it's time to report it. And I'm going to click a little button on my keyboard, and it's going to suddenly reveal Penn finished Dune. What's up?
What's up? Wow. Well, Austin Atreides says he finished Mentat's Dune. So he's he's halfway through the school's series. So he's on his way.
You know what, David?
He's on his way.
It's like the tattoo on my forehead says, I ain't scared.
I ain't scared.
I ain't scared.
Oh, my word. All right. Well, since I don't want you to freak out too much because I see you're intimidated, let's move on to what are we watching, what are we reading, what are we doing this week?
Touché, mon frère. I started a movie that I didn't finish, but it actually looked pretty good. I was wondering if you have this problem, if you or some of our listeners have the same problem. I feel like sometimes I start a movie and I get interrupted, and then when I go back to find the movie, it's not like it's suddenly like almost impossible to find. Like you would think they would all be on the recently watched list, but some platforms are better than others at maintaining like recently watched and then like, so the movie I'm talking about is Boss Level, which I think was on Netflix.
Hulu. That's
where
you can find it.
Yeah. But did you watch it?
No, I just saw the ads because I was going to. Hulu is the only streaming service I don't, like, do anything with.
Boss Level is pretty good.
Okay.
It's another – I learned this cool vocabulary from listening to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Oh.
Yeah, let me try it out for you. Boss Level is a movie based on a temporal loop.
Whoa!
Yeah, temporal is Latin for time. And loop is Latin for circle.
Circile.
Right. Boss Level looks pretty good. I got distracted halfway through and couldn't find it on Netflix. Couldn't find this Hulu movie on Netflix, so I haven't watched the end, so I don't know how it ends, but I've enjoyed the first half. Now, I also want to give a shout-out, Top 10 Sarah. Right? We haven't heard from her a while, but I know she's still a faithful listener. And isn't she the one that, like, told me, hey, stick with Dark. Don't give up on Dark.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's what I did. So I just finished rewatching season 2. And now, if you remember the last time we spoke about this on the show, I had not yet started season 3 because I was discouraged. And so here I go. I'm diving in. Season 3, wow. Look out. Here I come.
These boots are made for walking, eh?
Yeah, that's just what they'll do.
So I said Sir Kyle, which reminded me of, you ever hear someone pronounce something and you're just like, pardon? What?
Yes.
Are you saying? There's a cooking, I forget what her name is. She's like a famous cooking lady on the Cooking Network. And she's like, you just put this in the microwave for five, or you just put this in the microwave for 5 minutes. It's like, hold up, what? Put it in the what now? The microwave? So anyway, that's funny.
Do you know what a facade is on the top of a building?
Yeah, the fake top?
Yeah, like the fake top. You like, so the building is a plain box, but then somebody designs a facade to sort of make the top look pretty or nice or whatever. And, you know, right? A friend of mine refers to it as a facade. And the funny thing is, he's not trying to be funny.
Wow.
And I bring it back up and I'm like, oh, you know, I'll refer to it later in the sentence and be like, well, maybe the facade would have this, that, or the other thing, trying to sort of subtly point out, you know. Yeah,
but he ain't having it.
No, he sticks with it. It's years now that we've been listening to him refer to a facade.
He's like, stick that in the microwave.
In the microwave.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, so me this week. I mean, I had a little bit of mini vacation here.
You've been busy.
But let me tell you what, Falcon and the Winter Soldier is turning out to be awesome. You need to get on board. I know I say that, but you should wait till it's half over and then get on board because that's the normal Penn Ketchum thing to do.
Right, that's my jam.
I also finished the book Red Rising, which I thought was pretty good.
You're such a jerk. Why are you so mean to me? I do nothing but say nice things all the time.
It's because I love you, man. That's how I show it. That's how you know I'm paying attention to your life.
All right,
if I know enough to make fun of you.
What's this? Red Rising? Was it another book you read again?
Yeah, I read this. Can you believe it? I read a book called Red Rising. Reviewing it on the Orbital Sword, but it's kind of like a sci-fi version of the Hunger Games, and so it's on Mars. So, it was pretty good. I liked it. I also watched in one sitting.
No, really?
One sitting, I watched the Snyder Cut, and
wow.
Let me say this about this.
Yeah, let me say this about that.
I did not check my phone the entire time. Only once was I like, this is kind of getting a little long here. And I was like, but I know it's a long movie. It's fine. And I liked it.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was like best superhero movie ever made. I don't, you know.
Right.
But it was way better than the original. The thing is, this version of the movie would never have been released in a million years. It's way too long. There's way too much in it. This is great, but... You know, even if Zack Snyder made the original fully, like, it would have never been this anyway. Like, it would have been cut down to 2.5 hours. So
let me stop you right there.
Yeah.
Did you hear the rumor?
That they want to keep going?
No. Well, that too. But what I was talking about is I read an article reporting second or third hand news that they're going to release – Warner Brothers is going to release Snyder Cut in IMAX theaters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that'd be interesting.
I know they're releasing it in black and white for some reason.
What they did – they did that with another superhero, Thor, right?
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, it makes sense for a Batman movie. Just – I don't know.
Yeah.
But okay. Did you watch it yet?
No, but it's on my list. I'm excited to watch it. Okay.
And then I also caught – it started this week –
On Amazon. I thought I'd wait till it's half over and then jump in.
Yeah, that sounds about right. The series Invincible started, and I implore you to watch it, not with your children, if you're out there with kids, because it's a cartoon and it looks like your average, it's going to be like a normal.
Fun. Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is just like kind of a knockoff of Superman, and then, you know, maybe people get like their heads ripped off and stuff. I'm just saying, like, just wait. So,
what platform is this on?
Amazon Prime.
Nice.
So it's based off of a comic by the same name. It's pretty good. So, what have you been? Oh, you told me what you've been doing. So next week,
Boss Level Dark Season.
Yeah, Godzilla vs. Kong next week.
Yeah,
I'm pumped.
I'm psyched. I think I'm gonna watch this in IMAX.
You're not gonna watch it in your living room?
I usually favor the recliners, but I feel like this movie sort of lends itself. Like, this movie wants to be seen on the biggest possible screen. So yeah, I'm gonna watch it in IMAX tomorrow morning.
Nice. Yeah, I might have to do the IMAX as well, because God, I love that. That's gonna be a lot of explosions and giant monsters.
Yeah. I think it'd be awesome
for sure. So okay, well, look, if you want to be a part of the show, the number one way you can do that, of course, send us an email, podcast@penncinema.com, with your questions, your answers, your advice. You want to give us advice? Please give us all the advice you can. We totally need it. Now, if you want to support the show, what's the number one way people can do that?
Well, David, I mean, the obvious mainstream way is you can always tell a friend, but, you know, there's a more there's a craze going on, right? I think that's the only word I could use for it right now, is a craze.
Yeah.
You know, the show right now is solid. We have tons of listeners.
Right.
But you worry about longevity.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what I want to encourage you, what folks are really doing a lot of is they're getting away from their Keurig machine. They're no longer doing those little K-cups of coffee. They're using the old school coffee tins.
Okay.
Because then what they're doing is, when they get to the bottom of the tin and they're all done with the coffee, they take a piece of paper and they write, "Listen to the Penn Cinema podcast."
Yeah.
And then they roll it up and they put it in the coffee can, and then they go and they bury it in their backyard. This is what all the cool kids are doing.
Right? I heard about this.
Yeah. So yeah, you probably heard about it. Generations from now, you know, the podcast will have listeners built right in, so that when archaeologists are uncovering, you know, their whatever they do, they're gonna dust that off like Indiana Jones. Yeah. Exactly.
What's this?
Oh. And then they'll look at it and they'll be like, "Well, that's dumb, because everybody listens to Penn Cinema podcast. That's how we start our day. That's like the normal thing."
They'll be like, "This is prime viral marketing right here. Is what it is."
They'll be like, "Oh, this is from back when the show was weekly."
Yeah, before it became daily.
Before it became daily, which is what happened before it came twice daily. The morning show and the afternoon version.
Yeah, yeah, when the news was that intense.
Oh my God, we should do a time capsule. I want to do a. We're going to do a time capsule.
Okay.
How great would that be? Because some idiot's going to be like reporting about the death of the movie theater and how, oh, streaming will cut out all the articles that say like movies are going away and all this jazz. And then we can write, well, everybody thought that except for us. And then we'll put that in the tube.
In the tube.
And we'll put it in the tube with a Luca poster just to throw them off.
You put it in the ground, you cement over it with a little plaque. Here lies the Penn Cinema podcast time capsule. Yeah.
Have you ever done a time capsule?
In like school and stuff, but
we did a time capsule New Year's Eve 1999.
Is it, you still have it out there?
We opened it.
No way. Yeah,
we opened it 20 years later. It was super cool, but it was not quite as cool as you would have thought.
Because you knew what was in there, right?
Right, yeah. Right. It hadn't been long enough.
Yeah, I gotcha. All right, well, thanks again for joining us on the show. Once again, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
And
party on.
Nailed it.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.